Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, people. Good afternoon to my radio audience. Good afternoon to my radio audience today. I'm here again today. I'm back to finish where I left off yesterday. I didn't finish the broadcast that I made yesterday. So today I am here to finish what I didn't finish yesterday. For the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. This is Communities of a Broken, Lost, and Destroyed People. Ghetto Life Refuge. Number two. Audio number two. This is Sister Radio Talk Show. And I am your host, Elisheba. I am your host today. Guest call-in number, if you would like to call in to voice your opinion again, is 661-244-9831. And I would like to thank all of the listeners that go back to listen to all the audios that I have made on this platform, Sister Radio Talk Show. We've been talking on this platform now, going on 2 years. In May, it will be 2 years that I have been here prophesizing and speaking prophetically to the children of Israel and the Gentiles. Almost 2 years now. Almost 2 years. Time has went very, very fast. Very, very fast. I can't believe that it's almost 2 years that I've been speaking on this radio platform. That's how fast time go and move. But we're going to jump right into the broadcast today. I have a couple of one prophecy that I have to give today and a word of knowledge that I have to give for Brazil today. So we're going to open it up with where we left off yesterday. You can go back to same topic, broadcast number one. Yesterday I did. We're going to pick it up where we left off. We left off in Psalms 81, 11 through 13. We're going to pick it up today at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. We are talking about the ghetto life. Communities of a Broken, Lost, and Destroyed People. Subtopic, Ghetto Life Refuge. Ghetto Life Refuge. I think I'm going to call that brother in today to interview him and ask him a couple questions about growing up in the ghetto, in the black community or the black neighborhoods. Okay? So let's go to Isaiah right now, chapter 1, verse 3. I'm not going to sing today because I don't feel it today. But I still give the God Abraham all the glory, honor, praise that's due to his holy, wonderful, great name, to the Holy Spirit, the heavenly host, the angels, and the Son of God. I would like to thank you all for helping me to still be alive in this earth to do whatever I need to do for my Father. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. Isaiah 1, verse 3. I'm going to start at verse 2. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. I am going to begin. But if you could give me a minute, 1 minute, I don't think that would mess up the broadcast. It didn't yesterday. So I think we're going to leave it on, as long as it's not making a whole lot of noise. So let's pick it up right here in Isaiah, talking about the black neighborhood, the black community, the children of Israel. They all live in the ghettos. I told you that yesterday. They all live in their black neighborhoods. They all are poor. They all are broke. They all are hungry. I ain't gonna say all. I'm gonna say 95%. 95% of the black people, which is the children of Israel, the Hebrew nation, they are all in poverty. So Isaiah, let's see why today. Let's see what the God of Israel revealed to us today. And then I'm going to give you that prophecy about Brazil once I read a few chapters. And we're going to look up the word destroy today. Because yesterday, for the title of the broadcast, we looked up the word broke. We looked up the word community. We looked up the word broken. And we looked up the word lost. And today we're going to look up the word destroy. And we're going to look up the word ghetto. And we're going to look up the word refuge today just to end this prophetic broadcast. Prophetic. Okay, I'm the prophet of the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Everything that I speak is prophetic to you Hebrews. I don't deal in the natural. Because I'm a prophet. I have to prophesy and speak to you in the prophetic. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Ahia have spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. This particular passage is talking about the wickedness of Judah. Who is Judah? Judah is a Negroes that live in America and that live all across the world, that was brought to America from Africa in the 15th century. They call them Negroes. That's Judah. So the Bible right here in Isaiah is talking to Judah ancestors, the ones that was in Jerusalem before they got kicked out and came to America and other parts of the world on slave ships. They over there in Belize. That's Judah. That's Judah in Belize. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. So the God of Israel is telling Isaiah to tell the children of Israel to hear. First he's saying, hear, O heavens. So he's talking to the angels and the heavenly host up in heaven with him. He's telling them to listen and hear. And then he say, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. I think it's getting kind of loud there, hopefully. And give ear, O earth. So he wants the earth to hear him. He wants the heavens to hear him. He wants everybody to hear him. And so he can tell you about the wickedness of Judah. Of Judah, the Negroes all across America and all across the world. You got some still over there in Africa. Some still in the Middle East. They everywhere. But he wants the heavens to listen. And he wants the earth to listen. What Judah, the king tribe, the same tribe that Solomon and David and Joseph and Mary came out of, the same tribe, Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Ahiah have spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. Who are those children that Ahiah nourished? Who are those children that Ahiah brought up? The 12 tribes of Israel. I nourished them. I nourished them. I took care of them. I helped them. I brought them up to be my people. I brought them up so they would serve me. I brought them up so they would love me. I brought them up so they would work for me in this earth. That's why I brought them up, and that's why I nourished them. Our ancestors, when they didn't get sick like we sick today. You know why? Because they had their own food. They had their own vineyards. They worked for hire, even though they was wicked and evil. But they still did what he put them in the earth to do. That's to till the ground and work for him. And have their own food and their own water and their own everything. But you people today, their children, you don't have nothing. So he don't want to nourish you. He don't want to nourish you like he nourished our ancestors. Because at least our ancestors had their own everything. Yeah, he said, I have brought them up and nourished the children, and they have rebelled against me. They rebelled way back then when they was in Jerusalem, and they rebelling today. He said, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3, the ox know his owner. The ox, the bullock, the cow know his owner. He know his master. He know the one that feed him and take care of him and look after him. And the ass, his mother's crib. But Israel do not know. My people do not consider. You don't know. You don't consider the God of Israel. You don't care about the God of the Bible. Okay? You do not consider who he is, what he wants you to do. And, excuse me, please. And how he wants you to do it. Excuse me, people. Give me a minute. I'm going to have to turn this thing off because I can see right now. Get away from me. Go outside. Go outside. Get out of here. Y'all up under me. Get out of here. I'm hot. Excuse me, people. Get out of here, man. Okay, that's bad. Think we can deal with it like that. So we are talking today about the black ghetto neighborhoods. Israel don't know. They don't care that the God of Israel brought them up. They don't care. They don't care. They have rebelled against him. They have rebelled against him. And that's why our black neighborhoods and black communities are in the condition that they are in. That's why. That's exactly why. And you want to believe black people, Hebrews. You want to believe that God loves you. Yeah, he do love you, long as you do what he tell you to do. But he don't love you when you are wicked and you have rebelled against him and you rebelling against his law and you don't care about whatever he want you to do. No, he don't love you. Matter of fact, he hates you. See, I'm here to talk some real truth and some real sense to you. Because all that stuff you've been told is nothing but dreams, fantasy, and fairy tales. No, when you rebel against the God of Israel, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, he hate you. He hate you. He despise you. He don't want to have nothing to do with you. He don't want to help you. He don't want to help you do it. See, he nourished the children of Israel right here in Isaiah chapter 2 till he just couldn't do it no more. Because they began to rebel against what he told them to do. They began to transgress the law. That's what rebelling means. Transgression of the law. Christians, black folks, Hebrews, transgressing of the law. What law? The law that he gave Moses. When the children of Israel, our ancestors, left Africa, Egypt. That law. So, he said, I nourished them, Isaiah. I brought them up unto myself so they can be my people and I can be their God. But they rebelled against me. See, you're not rebelling against your government. You're not rebelling against your bosses on your job. You're not rebelling against the people that rule this world. You're doing exactly what they want you to do. You're doing exactly what they need you to do. You are rebelling against the God that created you. You are rebelling against the God that put you here. That's who you're rebelling against. And that's why your life is a living hell today. I'm going to speak plain to you Hebrews. That's why your life is a living hell today. And all your surroundings in the ghetto, in the hood, in the black neighborhood is a living hell to live in. That's why people getting shot down, knocked down, all kind of stuff, because your life is a nightmare. It is a living hell on earth. And guess what? You made it that way yourself. So no. Can't nobody get you out of this, Israel. No, your leaders can't get you out of this. No, your leaders ain't got enough sense to tell you what you got to do to get the God of Israel to help you. It's going to take a prophet to do that. It says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3, and we're going to move to the next scripture. The ox, he know his owner. He know his owner. But your owner is Jesus. Your owner is Yah. Your owner is the government. Your owner is the Congress. Your owner is the Senate. Your owner is the boss on your job. Your owner is your principal at your school. The ox know his owner. You don't care, man. You don't care. But the more you people ignore the God of Israel, the more you people reject the God of Israel and continue in your own counsel and purposes and goals and things in life that you want to do and fulfill and desire, the more you do that, the more you're killing yourself and your children. And I'm speaking to you again prophetically. The more you people do that, you can pretend all you want. You can pretend all you want that you're blessed and your life good and I'm okay, I'm content. You can pretend all you want. But at the end of the day, is judgment. And that's where we at right now. We are in judgment right now. And that's why you got so many people dropping dead right now. Because you're being judged by the God of Israel right now for your wickedness. Judah, for your wickedness. Issachar, Mexicans, for your wickedness. Cubans, Manasseh. Yes. Yes. Should I name the rest of the 12 tribes? Yeah. Your owner, the owner of the cow, even a dog. My little chihuahua know that I'm his master. My little chihuahuas know that I am his owner and his master. But Israel don't know, and they don't consider. They don't consider who's in control of their life. They in control of their own life, their own destiny. I'm going to do whatever I want when I want. Yeah. Look what Isaiah 1:4 says, Hebrews. Ha, simple nation. Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. That's what you are. Children, look what the Bible says. I know why y'all don't like to read the Bible, a lot of y'all. I know why y'all like to go to them scriptures that make you feel good. I know why you like to go to them New Testament scriptures that make you feel good and make you say you're under grace and you're under mercy and God love you. Yeah, I know why you want to go to those scriptures and why all your leaders lead you to those scriptures. Because you don't want to realize what you have done against the God of Israel. A sinful nation. What nation is that? The Hebrew nation. Sinful. I'm reading Isaiah 1 verse 4. Sinful. It say Hebrew number 2398. But sinful. To miss. To sin. Forfeit. Lack. Repent. Led astray, condemned, bear the blame. A sinful nation, the Hebrew nation, the 12 tribes, Jacob's sons and daughters, are a sinful nation. The Gentiles also, they always been a sinful nation though. They heathens. The Bible called Gentiles heathens and dogs. Look it up. Look up the word Gentile. And you'll see what you are to the God of Israel. A sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. No, you're not holy. You're not righteous. No, you're not saved. No, you're not pleasing the God of the Bible. No, no, no to all your asked questions. No, no. You living in the ghetto. You living in the black community. You poor. You into poverty, sickness, and disease, and destruction. Your whole surroundings, your whole life been centered around that. Pain, stress, miserable, your whole life. Look at your life, people. Stop fooling yourselves. It's over. Can't you see it is over? You can't do that no more. The God of Israel not going to accept that any longer, people. I'm telling you what I know. He not. And that's why he got me here on this platform for 2 whole years pleading with you Hebrews and you Christians to stop your wickedness. What wickedness? I can hear a lot of y'all talking right now. What wickedness have I committed? You have broke the law. You are sinful. You're transgressors. Iniquity right here for Isaiah 1:4. Iniquity is Hebrew number 5771. Perversity. That is more evil. Mischief. That's what iniquity is. Moral evil. Morally, you are evil people. Hebrews, you are a sinful, morally perverse people. A seed. See, you're a seed. You Abraham's seed. You Isaac's seed. And you Jacob's seed. You are a seed of evildoers. And that's what the God of Israel told Abraham to tell the children of Israel. It say here in the Hebrew, and I'm going to the next scripture after that. It say Hebrew number 7489 for evildoers. To spoil, literally to break to pieces. To make or be good for nothing. And that's why I read to you yesterday, Jeremiah, when he say you are vain. And everything that you do will not profit you. You are good for nothing to the God of Israel. Your whole life is centered around man. Your whole life is centered around your own will. What you want. How you want. When you want to do it. You are good for nothing. He have no use. And that's why people dying. Because he have no more use for you people, man. And the ones that still here, you still want to be rebellious. You are evildoers. You still want to walk into iniquity. Okay, it says here, good for nothing. Look what it say for the word evildoers. It's Hebrew number 7489 for Isaiah 1:4. That is bad. You're not a good person. The God of Israel say you're a bad person. See, you've been thinking that you're so good and, you know, you nice and, you know, I'm a good person. I don't do nothing wrong and, you know, I'm good and, yeah, I don't do nothing bad to nobody. No, who you doing it bad to? You doing it to the God of Israel. Everything else good to who the other people that rule over you. No, you do everything bad towards him. Good for nothing, it say, physically, socially, or morally. Physically, you good for nothing. You use all your strength, black folks, Hebrews, you use all your strength to work for someone else. You use all your strength every day to get up and do what you want to do. Physically, you are good for nothing. The God of Israel can't get you to do nothing for him. Be honest with yourself, people. Be honest. Stop lying to yourself. He said physically, socially. I'm reading Hebrew number 7489 for Isaiah 1:4. Evil doors. I'm reading the Hebrew definition. He said, physically, you're good for nothing. You put all your strength, all your energy on other things and other people and other situations. Socially, you no good to the God of Israel. You don't want to spend no time with him. You don't want to socialize with him. You don't want to get to know the real God. You're comfortable with Jesus and Jesus and Guadalupe and Mary and Yah and all your gods, Allah and all. You're comfortable with that. You want to socialize with them. But you don't want to socialize with the God that put breath in your body and the God that can take breath out of your body. No, the government can't kill nobody. So you can get off the government killing people with COVID. No, the government can't kill nobody. The God of Israel can use them to kill somebody if that's what he wants to do. But personally, be honest with you, they can't give life and they can't take life away. That would be the God of Moses, the God of Jacob, our father. So, evildoers, socially, you know good. You know good socially. Your mama never was no good in the ghetto socially. All they did was go to church 5 days a week, praying to a false god, a wrong god, a no god. Never got nowhere. Had no food in the refrigerator, hungry. Their kids going to bed hungry, still praying to Jesus. Evil doers. Yeah. I'm talking about the black community, the ghetto. That's what I'm talking about, people. You've been in it all your life. You know all about the hood, and you know all about the ghetto life. Yeah. Yeah, I'm here to bring the light in the dark world. I'm here to bring the light to darkness. Socially, you know good. He can't get you to spend no time with him. Nah, you're too busy doing your work. You're too busy going on your job. You're too busy going here, doing this, doing that, doing this. You're too busy doing all kind of things to socialize with the God that put you here. And that's why he's going to take you out, people. He's going to take you out because you ain't no use to him. You're no good for him. And that's why he took our ancestors out. Millions died in Jerusalem. Billions. Kids, little babies, women, men, old men, young. It didn't matter because they was evildoers just like you people are today. Socially, you know good, or morally, associate themselves and show self friendly. You don't, let me just keep going. I'm going to my next scripture now, people. Isaiah 5:13. We're still in the prophet here. Isaiah 5:13, people. Yes. Yeah. And we're going to look up after that the word destroyed. Destroyed. Isaiah 5:13. Just to edify the whole title of this broadcast, we're going to look that word up next. Because I believe in edification. I'm not going to teach you nothing. I'm not going to say nothing to you. I'm not going to do nothing for the God of Israel. A higher is his name, if I can't edify you. Edification means that you're going to actually learn something and know something and realize something that you need to help your life, your miserable ghetto life. 5:13, Isaiah, therefore my people, see, he's still talking to Israel. The 12 tribes. He ain't talking to no Gentiles. You're not his people. You're not the seed of Abraham. You're the seed of Ham. You're the seed of Japheth. You're the seed of Esau. All of them are Gentiles. Ham, Gentiles, Africans over there in Africans, Egypt, all that. Japhet, Gentiles. That would be the Chinese, the Asians, the Koreans. Japhet, Gentile. Esau, Gentiles. Spaniards, Germans, Russians, Romans. So therefore, my people, the Hebrew nation, Isaiah 5:13, are going into captivity because they have no knowledge. You don't have no knowledge, Hebrews. The God of Israel said it. He said it, the Creator. You don't have no knowledge. You're not smart. You're not wise. You don't have no sense. You don't know how to do nothing. All you know how to do is what your mommy trained you to do and your daddy trained you to do in the ghetto, the black community. That's all you know. Therefore, my people are going into captivity. Captivity means you are in bondage. You are in bondage. Somebody else control you. Somebody else dictate your life. Tell you what to eat. Tell you what to drink. Tell you what to wear. Tell you where to go. Tell you what to believe. Tell you what to have. Tell you what to take. You are in captivity to Edom, our big brother, Esau. That's who you're in captivity to. All over the black community. In the Caribbean, Spaniards, Esau. Over there in Portuguese, where Brazil is, Esau. Venezuela, Esau. Peru, Esau. Guatemala, Esau. Mexico, Spaniards, Esau. America, white man, Esau. Romans. That's who they are, Romans. The people that rule America are Romans, Jewish, Esau. They are Jewish, but they Romans. That's what they call themselves, that rule Babylon, America. You in captivity to these other nations, Gentile nations. Because they have no knowledge. You don't realize who you are. You don't have no knowledge. The only knowledge you have is what the ghetto taught you. What did the ghetto teach us, people? What did the ghetto teach us? How to be good little slaves. Be good. Obey the law of the land. Obey them that have rule over you. That's what the ghetto taught us. Be weak. Whatever your masters tell you to do. Eat what your master fixed for you to eat. All the processed food that they put up in their markets and grocery store. Eat it. Eat it. It's good for you. It's good food. Run on up in there. In Walmart and all of them. And buy food. It's good. Your master gonna give you something good. You don't gotta raise no food no more. We into the new world now. You have no knowledge. you ignorant. Hebrew number for knowledge is Hebrew number 1847, ignorant. And their honorable men are famished, and the multitude dried up with thirst. Your honorable men, your elders, the ones you honor, your pastors, your leaders, they are famished. They dried, the whole multitude is dried up with thirst. They ain't got nothing to tell you. They ain't got no word for you. All they giving you is the same old stuff that they gave my mom and them when they were sitting up in church. Let me help y'all dumb, ignorant people with no knowledge. The God of Israel say you don't have none. The same old stuff that they told my mom and them and my grandma and them, them pastors and leaders and all them people, honorable men, you call them. My pastor, he's an honorable man. He know what he's talking about. I believe everything my pastor say and my elders say and my bishops say. Your honorable men are dried up with thirst. They don't have no life in them. They don't have no water. They don't have no knowledge. They cannot tell you nothing that's going to help you black folks in the ghetto. You know how long we've been sitting up in a church listening to these people. You know how long we've been going up to the organizations of the black people, the NCP, NACCP, and all kind of organizations that they have created, they say, to help black folks. The mayor, the government building, and all these buildings dried up with thirst, famished. They can't feed you. Bro, you ready? See ya. They can't feed you. They can't, excuse me, people, feed you nothing. You know how long we had the black churches in the ghetto? Over 500 years, people. 500 years. The black churches. Sitting on all corners. Caribbean, all over. And we still in the same exact predicament that we was in 500 years ago. And you still want to believe that lie? Next scripture. I'm going to look up community right now. Not community, I'm sorry. Destroyed. Destroyed. Destroyed, people. The meaning and the definition for the word destroyed. This is the Sister Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Elisha Buck. Guest call in number 664-644. I'll give it to you in a minute, people. I'm going to look up this word destroyed right now. Put an end to the existence of something. Let me say that again. Black folks, Hebrews, Israel. Put an end to the existence of something by damaging or attacking it. The title of this broadcast today, Communities. A broken, lost, and destroyed people. Subtopic, ghetto life refuge. Audio number 2. Destroyed. Put an end. This is the meaning. To the existence of something by damaging or attacking it. They put an end to the existence of the Hebrew nation. We don't exist no more, people. Listen to me. We don't exist no more. Our existence have become extinct. Because you allow... Hey, get out! See the y'all, they messing with the chicken. Excuse me. The goat. Excuse me, people.
Hey!
Go out there. They messed up.
Yeah.
Go out there and check them. Excuse me, people.
Hey, 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 hey.
They pulled the rock off. They pulled the rock off, okay? Excuse me, people. They want to put an end to the existence of something and damage or attacking it. They have put an end to our existence as the Hebrew nation, as the 12 tribes, as the sons and daughters of Jacob. We somebody else. We don't know who we are. We don't care to know because we comfortable being nobody. We comfortable being poor. We comfortable being broke. We comfortable just getting a paycheck when we supposed to be wealthy. Wealthy. Our ancestors was wealthy. Okay. We comfortable with doing and being nothing. They put an end to our existence as a people. That's how they destroying us. I'm ready, bro. Get your chair. I'm ready to interview. That's how they destroying us. Telling you, you somebody that you're not. They put an end to the Hebrew nation. They don't even talk about the Hebrew nation. The Hebrew nation don't even exist. There's no documentation or information about the Hebrew nation other than what they want us to know about the Hebrew nation. They took all our records, all our wealth, all our riches, because we was evildoers and sinning against the God of Israel. They took Jerusalem. In 70 AD, they took Jerusalem down and killed the Son of God and all the prophets. The same people that destroyed the children today. Come on in. Come on in. If you know something, you think something, come on in. Voice your opinion about what I'm saying. If I'm telling a lie, prove it to me. They put it in. That's what destroyed me, to put an end to the existence of something by damaging. They damaged us. How did they damage us? I'm reading a definition for destroy. They damaged us by teaching us their education. They damaged us by teaching us that we Negroes, we Africans. That's how they put an end to our existence. They damaged us by telling us to go to church and pray to Jesus and all their gods. That's how they destroyed us as a people, the Hebrew people. They damaged us by teaching us that the law is done away with in the Christian church, that we ain't got to keep it no more. We under grace now. We under the New Testament. This is how they damaged us. They destroyed our existence. They destroyed our guidelines. They destroyed who we are. We Abraham's seed. They destroyed that and damaged us by attacking us. They attacked us. They made the jail system. They made the welfare system to take your kids in the black ghetto. You love the ghetto life, though. The ghetto life refuge. That's what we're talking about. A black people that's been destroyed all over the earth. You love it. They destroyed us and attacked us through setting the welfare system up to take your kids if you don't do what they want you to do. They damaged and attacked us, telling us to take their medication if we get sick. They damaged our DNA, made us weak, and dried us up as a people. They took all our essences out of us and made us into who they wanted us to be with their information and with their law and with their rule and with their control and with their everything. Look at the black neighborhood. Look at the hood. Look at our community. They set up the jail system to take us
down as a people. Right now, get ready to interview a brother. He got a nephew that's been in jail for 10 years now for killing a man. He was never too, how old was he, bro, when he went to jail? 22 years old. 22 years old. Gunned a man down. And gunned a man down, him and his friends, his little black friends. Gang. Gang, he was in a gang. That's what's in the black neighborhood. Nothing but destruction. This is how they put an end to our existence. I'm reading the word destroy. Put an end to the existence of something by damaging or attacking it. Demolished. Pull down, tear down. Ruin someone emotionally or spiritually. That's what destroyed means. That's what we're reading today. Ruin someone. And right now he in jail for 60 years of his life. A young man. This is what the black hood did for him. This is what his upbringing did for him. This is what his mommy and his daddy did for him. If he had a daddy, probably didn't even have a daddy. This is what his mommy did to him. Destroyed him as a child. Living in a black neighborhood destroyed him as a child. And it's destroying you. And it has destroyed you. And the destruction gonna continue. Because you are evildoers. That's what the God of Israel said about you. A seed of evildoers. That seed is Jacob's children. Ruin. I'm reading the word destroy. Ruin. Someone emotionally or spiritually. Emotionally, we've been destroyed. Emotionally, we've been destroyed. Emotionally, people. You ain't got no emotions. You ain't got no feelings. You don't care about nobody. You don't show no emotions to nothing around you in the black hood. You don't care if the man down the street get gunned down right in front of you. You're going to video it on Facebook. You're going to get your cell phone and video a man getting beat to death and put it on Facebook and Instagram. You emotionally people, you are wicked. Emotionally, you don't hug your children. My mama never hugged me. Her mama never hugged her. Her mama never hugged her. Her daddy never hugged her. Emotionally, we have been destroyed. My mom ain't never hugged me. Right now today, she's still living. She's 80 years old and never tell me she loved me not one time. She'll call me 6 times in one day and won't say, I love you, baby. I'm your mama. I love you. Nothing. Nothing. Won't even hug me. I know people in their family got killed. They didn't even cry. They showed no emotions. Talking about this brother, I'm about to interview. We emotionless or spiritually, we are destroyed too. It says, destroy me emotionally or spiritually. How are we being destroyed spiritually? We've been taught something that's not true. That's how. There's no connection with our God, the real God. Spiritually, you are already destroyed. Emotionally, you are already destroyed. You defeated, it says. Destroyed means defeated. Defeated. Annihilated. Wiped out. Your existence don't even matter. That's how low we have become as a people. Low, we are nothing. Now, before
I gotta turn that off. Because this is gonna mess up my tape. Excuse me, people. Turn it off. Yeah, that's good. Before I interview this brother, we stopped at Isaiah 5:13. I'm gonna read Judges 10:13. And then after that, I'm gonna read you the word of knowledge for Brazil. Because hopefully I have someone that can speak Portuguese, because that's what they speak in Brazil. Or some Brazilian is listening to me today on this airway. Because the prophecy that I have, the message that I have for Brazil is prophetic, and it's from the God of Israel. Because right now, Brazil, I just read it in the news this morning, 3,000 people died today in Brazil from COVID-19. No, 4,000. Yesterday was 3,000 and some. Today, 4,000. They're dropping over there. And I know, and the God of Israel told me, what are they doing to make him so angry that he want to kill so many of them over there? So I have a prophecy for Brazil, a word of knowledge, exactly. It's really not a prophecy. It's really a word of knowledge. So I'm going to read Judges 5:13. Then I'm going to say this, what I got to say, because I don't want this radio show to end today without talking about Brazil. This is important. It's important. Okay, Judges 10:13. Judges 10:13. Let me check on the other side one moment. Okay, still got a little time, people. Judges 10:13. I had to come back today. I said I was going to come back yesterday, but I wasn't able to. But I had to today because I have to finish this. Judges 10:13. Chapter 13 of Judges. Yes, people, I'm here. The prophet of the God of Israel is here. 10:13. I can say that with honor. Why? Because I know who I am. Judges 10:13. Did no man make me no prophet. The God of Israel made me one before I was even born. Judges 10:13. That's how you know I'm a real prophet. You know how you know that? Because what I am telling you and speaking to you is prophetic. And no one that I ever heard on YouTube or no other platform on the internet or TV speak the way I speak. See, this is end time prophecy. It's prophetic. They ain't talking about number. God gonna bless you and God gonna do this. Sow a seed and God gonna do this and God gonna heal you. That's not prophecy. Those are lies. Judges 10:13. Yet you have forsaken me and serve other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Should I say it again? Hebrews, black people. Yeah, I'm talking to you black Hebrews. All y'all black, the 12 tribes. Yet, you have forsaken me, the God of Israel. Ahaya is my name. And served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. And that's why our black neighborhoods in the ghetto is decaying every single day. Decaying. We killing, they killing one another. Shooting down their mama. They dad, they little sister, them baby, them and boo boo them.
killing one another. I read on the news today, a urban driver, he delivered food. He was delivering food, a urban food. He delivered food. A 15-year-old little black girl and a 13-year-old little black girl jumped in the car and tried to take the man's car, tried to hijack. 15, boy. 13 little black girls try to take the man caught and hijacked him. They tasered him. I don't know where they got a taser from. They tasered the man. The man was hanging out the window of his car. The whole car flipped over and killed the man. Now they in jail. 15 and 13-year-old black little girls. Where they mama at? Where they daddy at? Somewhere being a hoe, or somewhere shoot some drugs up in their arm, or taking some crystal meth, or drinking some alcohol, or walking up and down the whole stroll trying to get some money, turning a trick, up in the dope house or the crack house, or sitting up in front of TV watching Xbox 360. At 60 years old, 50 years old, grown men, and their little daughter done killed a man. So you trying to tell me that the ghetto life is good? And somebody had their phone filming it. And wait a minute, matter of fact, what they did when they hijacked the man, they was filming the man on Facebook. So please, people, please understand. You are destroyed, and so are your children. And you destroying them. You destroy. Where they mom at? They ain't got no mom. They never had no mama, just like me. I didn't have no mama. My mama was a drunk. They mama is a drunk. They mama is a prostitute, a hoe. No telling what she is. No telling where the daddy is. He probably in jail. His dad locked up, hijacking and killing somebody, hurting somebody, or robbing somebody. Most likely that's where the daddy at, in prison. All our black young men, old men are in prison, 80%. Community of a broken, lost, and destroyed people. Ghetto Life Refuge. Subtopic. Look what the Bible says. Yet you have forsaken me. Judges 10:13. The mamas have forsaken the God of Israel. The daddies have forsaken the God of Israel. The grandmoms have forsaken the God of Israel. The aunties, the uncles, the children have forsaken the God of Israel. You have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the God. Look what the God of Israel says. Go and cry unto your gods, which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your trouble. In the time of your trouble. Oh, they on the chickens again. You got to put a heavier rock or some, bro. They keep, excuse me, people. So right now, people, with that, I am going to go to the word of knowledge for Brazil right now. Word of knowledge for Brazil. And I also have a prophecy or a prophetic event that's going on with the big ship over there on the Mediterranean Sea that they're trying to move. Word of knowledge for Brazil. I was given this
yesterday, word of knowledge, I was told to tell you, Brazil, the God of Israel, the God of Israel told me to tell you Brazil, to stop putting crosses on the graves of the people that's dying from COVID-19. And he said, if you stop, the deaths will cease, or it won't be so much death. Stop putting the crosses on the graves. The God of Israel hate graven images. The God of Israel hate graven images. He hates graven images. He is a graven image. The cross represents Jesus. It represents Mary, Guadalupe, Ceramicus. Stop putting the crosses on your graves in belief. When you look at the grave site, you see thousands of crosses where the government don't make crosses for you to put on your dead relatives' graves. Don't do it, Brazil. The God of Israel is warning you to stop that, because you're going to hurt yourself more and more if you don't. Don't put no more crosses on no grave. That's the word of knowledge for Brazil. I'm going to read John chapter 7, verse 37. And then we're going to give you the prophetic that's going on, right? I told you, people. Matter of fact, let me read this. I'm going to save that for last. What I'm about to say. I'm going to John 7:37. Let me get through these scriptures right now. John 37. Then a brother coming right now to give a little short interview. John 37. John in the New Testament. John 37. Oh, I'm sorry. John 7, people. I'm sorry about that. John 7. I'm sorry about all the interruptions, too. John 7, 37. John 7, 37, people. Listen to the God of Israel, Brazil. The real God. The gods that you calling on and worshiping and praying to, they can't help you, and they can't stop COVID because they're not real. John 7:37. In the last day of the feast. Yeshua, I never call him Jesus because that's not his name. Look up what I told you. My Savior means Yeshua or Yeshua. Yeshua stood and cried in the Hebrew. That's what it means. That's his name. Stood up and cried saying, if any man thirsts, Let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. Y'all been drinking with Jesus for 500 years, black folks, Hebrews, Gentile Christians. Y'all been drinking. And nothing have got better or changed. Next scripture. So that proves to you, that's an indication that God is not real. And it say, John 7:38, he that believe on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. No, Jesus, they injected that name in the 15th century. It was Jesus in the 15th century. Let me keep going. Next scripture, Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. You see them little black girls that killed that man today, hijacked his car at 15 and 13. How they been trained up? How did my mama train me up? How did my mama train my sister up and my brother? How did your mom train you up and your daddy now? That's the way that we are going right now, the way that we've been trained. We've been trained to be nothing. They didn't train us with wisdom. They didn't train us with knowledge. They didn't train us with understanding from the God of Israel. They trained us up with the knowledge of our oppressors, the government. That's how he was trained up. Through religion. The ones that say, oh, no, I ain't sin. I ain't did nothing when I was out. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't cuss. I didn't do nothing but go to church. You've been trained up to be religious. A fanatic that call on a false god that can't help you. And that's why when the Son of God was born in the earth, he couldn't sit around the false people, the religious people, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees now. He had to go around sinners. He had to go around sinners to try to help the sinners. He couldn't help the church folks. He couldn't help them. They the very ones that crucified him, told the Romans, crucify him. The church folks, them is the ones that killed the Son of God, the religious Christians. That's what they was, Christians, and they was into Judaism. Those was the two religions back then when the Son of God, that was just two. They had many religions, just like they have today. They was Christians, it was into Judaism and Buddhism and Islam. Crucify him. Those the ones that killed the Son of God. But no, he didn't want to sit around them. He said, you are your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you would do. And what is that lust? To serve another God and worship them and call on them and pray to them and bow down to them. So train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My mama trained me up to be an alcoholic. My mama trained me up
to be what I am right now. Train them up. That's a church scripture that's been used for so many centuries. Oh, we're going to train them up in Jesus, they taught me. My mama trained me up in that too. She wasn't nothing but a hypocrite, though. She went to church on Sunday and on Friday, maybe. And then on Saturday and all through the week, she was drinking. She was an alcoholic. Though mama went to church on Saturday and Friday and prayer night. But all through the week, she was a whoremonger. Train up a child. I'm talking about the ghetto. The black neighborhood. The black community. Your mama was up in church and your daddy with their suit on Sunday acting like they so holy and little God. But when you get home, they wouldn't even give you no food. You had to go back hungry. So, people, train up a child. We have been trained up the way that the government needed us to be trained up to destroy our existence. As the children of Israel. You don't even know who you are. Our children don't even know who they are. I know when I was a child, I was so confused, lost, miserable, destroyed, didn't know nothing. Didn't even want to live because my life was so miserable, like living in hell, tormented. As a baby, as a child, this how I was trained up. In the neighborhood. Nobody wanted to help. No support from a grown person, an old person, a young person. Nobody supported me. No one wanted to help me. You are evildoers. You don't care about the little child down the street and the little boy and the little girl and the old woman that needs your help. You people not right. You are hypocrites. Now, I have the brother here. Brother, could you please state your name for the audience?
CDI.
CDI is his name, Pete. CDI is his name. How old are you?
76 years old.
He's 76 years old. Where was you raised up at?
I was raised up in the ghetto.
What city?
City of Toledo, Ohio.
Toledo, Ohio. How many years was you a Christian? Was you raised up in church?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Was your sister then raised up in church? How many brothers and sisters you have?
There's four of us.
It's four of them. And they was all raised up in the Christian church. How many days a week did you go to church, brother? You the oldest, right, in the family?
I am.
Okay, how many days a week did you go to church growing up as a little boy?
At least four days, I would say.
4 days a week,
yeah.
every day almost, they was at church. What did you learn at church?
I learned about Jesus, you know. They taught
us, about Jesus?
Yeah, about Jesus.
What they teach you about Jesus? What kind of church was it?
This was a Christian church.
What's the name of it? What's the organization? The denomination?
Church of God in Christ.
Church of God in Christ. Okay, what did they teach you about Jesus?
That he was that he's good, kind.
Uh-huh. Come on. Yeah.
And
come on, bro.
Yeah.
They taught you all that about he was good and kind and loving. And what did you have to do to make him happy? Jesus. What they teach you?
You had to pray to him, wish him.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Now, you doing that all, how many years was you a Christian? 60 years of his life, people. He was a Christian. Okay. And I want you to be honest with the audience. What being a Christian do for you all them years in the ghetto, black community, in the neighborhood, the hood they call it. What did it do for you as a child, being a Christian? As a little boy, what did that do? How did that make you feel? Did it help you or what? Going to church for 4 days a week.
Well, it made me feel, you know, my mom taught me about Jesus, and it made me feel like a good Christian, you know, just going.
To be a good Christian?
Yeah, learn about Jesus.
But what did it do for your lives, your brothers and sisters? Was your life good? Did your mama have any money? Did your mama have to work hard to take care of y'all? What did being a Christian do to help y'all life? That's what I want to know. Tell the audience that.
Well, made me like some going to church. Made me feel like I was living life like a good Christian.
No, I ain't asking you that. I'm saying, what did Jesus, calling on him as your God, they teach you, what did he do to make your life better, you and your brothers and sisters? Did y'all have any food?
Yeah, we had food at times. We didn't have no food.
Did you have food all the time, or did you? Let me ask this question. Did you have food more, or you didn't have food more? Which one was it?
We didn't have food more.
Exactly, people. Didn't have no food. Okay, when you didn't have no food, what did your mama tell you? Because you're the oldest. What did she say you had to do when you didn't have no food?
Well, she prayed that we would have food.
Pray to Jesus?
Did
food come?
No.
Wait. I want you to be honest with the audience now. Did you get any food in your refrigerator, bro, when your mama prayed and you and your brothers and sisters got down on their knees, train up a child in the way they should go?
Right.
Did you get any food?
Sometimes we did get food.
I'm saying, did you get food all the time?
No, not all the time.
How many days did you go without eating? Because I know my mama used to pray to Jesus every night. And we didn't get no food for at least four nights straight. We went to bed hungry, praying to Jesus and getting up, going to church on Sunday. So how many days?
About maybe 5 days.
Why? Because you had to wait on your mom to get her check?
Right.
No, I thought Jesus was God. I thought Jesus, when you pray to him, they say he's love, right? He loves and he want to help you and he want to bless you and he want to make your life good. So when your mama prayed, and your mama was faithful, right,
yeah,
to the church?
Oh, yeah.
Very faithful. And she taught y'all how to be faithful, right? So when you praying to Jesus, crying to Jesus, and I'm pretty sure your mama cried many days and nights because y'all didn't have no food. She had to go to work and get food on the table. Why Jesus didn't give none? If he a God. Tell me, I want you to answer that question.
Well, we were told.
I'm going in overtime.
We were not told that Jesus is God. We believe in God.
No. Wait. They didn't teach you that Jesus was three in one? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Okay. So you was taught that Jesus was God. And he was also the Son of God, right? Right?
Son of God.
And he's God too, right? Huh?
Right.
Yes. Because when I met you, that's what you was telling me, that they three in one. Jesus is incarnated, and he's God. That's what you were telling me when I met you, bro. Okay? So I'm going back to the black hood, rescue life in the black neighborhood. So, I'm here to say this. Did you have a father growing up? And how old are you again?
Oh, I'm 76.
76 years old. Was your father there in the home with your brothers and sisters?
No, we grew up without a father.
He grew up without a father. Where's your father at? Your dad?
Well, I learned later on that he had another family.
Okay.
So I guess he was occupied with his family. We hardly ever seen him.
Okay, okay. See, people? See what I'm saying? See exactly what I am saying? His mama, she's there today. Nice lady. I met her. Beautiful lady. I met her. Nice religious church lady. I met her. Saying about the black community people. His daddy had another family. He was what, a deacon of the church?
No, he's a preacher.
He was a preacher. He was a preacher of the Christian church. And he had another family. I'm in overtime now. He had another family, and guess what? He would do what? Come to your mom's house?
Once he came there for like, oh, I never seen him come in all the time.
Wait a minute. This man got four children by his mama. And he was married to another woman. And he was a pastor or minister of the Christian church. So people, that's what I'm trying to show y'all. These people are devils. He's a devil. He had four kids by his mama, and then he probably, how many other kids he had by the other woman?
Oh, he had about
six kids by another woman. Six kids. And see, his mom, she was trained up the way her mama trained her up. Her mama, your grandma, you know anything about her? See, I'm just testifying about the black neighborhood. Did you know your grandma? We know what kind of lady your mom was. She was a very churchy lady. But to be honest, that's what she was. Because she didn't have no business having kids and sex with another man that wasn't her husband. Another man. She committed adultery and brought four children in the earth. This is what I'm trying to show y'all. We are a destroyed people. So did you know your grandma?
And you were a Christian lady.
Okay, what kind of lady was she? Yeah, a Christian lady. A Christian lady. See, again, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? You know what a Christian is. You know what a Christian is. They sinners. That's what they are. They are straight up sinners. And I'm not talking about Christianity today. I'm talking about the communities of a broken, lost, and destroyed people in the ghetto. So, bruh, how did your life, how was you raised in a ghetto? You was hungry. A lot of times, you didn't have no shoes a lot of times. You had holes in your shoes.
Sure did.
Hmm? Yes. Didn't have no good clothes to wear, right? A lot of times.
Right.
Huh? But you still had to go to church and call on Jesus, right? Yeah. If you didn't go to church, what your mama would do?
Oh, I had no choice. That's how I was raised.
See, train a child. That's the way he was raised, to be a church man. And from the day I met him, he was still a church man. But church never did you what, bro? No good?
No good.
Did church help you all them years? You stayed in it a long time.
It did me any good.
No good. Why? Why you say that?
Well, I was trusting in what the leaders taught, teach you to be a good Christian, trust in Jesus. So,
And I got to finish it. Go ahead. Go ahead and make your statement, last statement.
Live a good Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
God will bless you. All this. Yeah.
But did church do you any good,
no,
bro?
No. As I got older, there was no real benefit going to church.
Okay. Was it any benefit in calling on Jesus?
No, really.
Huh?
No.
Can you hear God right now at 74 years old? Can you hear God?
No.
Can you hear him?
You can't hear him?
No.
Can you feel him?
No.
Not really. Okay. Okay. Now, people, what I am saying to you people, you heard the brother. You heard the testimony. His daddy came up in there. He only seen his daddy once or twice. He would come up in there and lay up with his mom, and then he'll leave and go back to his wife and his other kids. And his mom never really talked to you much about your father, right? She never said nothing about your dad to you that you can remember.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
So anyway, thank you, brother, for that. I'm going to finish now. You can leave. Bring me some water. Joel, chapter 1, verse 3. And right now today, that brother still ain't got nothing. He just, you know, same old stuff, man. Joel 1, 3. Joel 1, 3. Joel 1, 3, people. And after that, I got three more scriptures. And the black neighborhood is full of disease. It's full of violence. It's full of drugs. It's full of gangs. It's full of molestation. It's full of mental illness. It is a testing ground for the government. That's what it is. A testing ground. All the drugs was put there. All the poison food was put there. All the gang violence was created. All the mental illness was created through food and medications. Joel, chapter 1, verse 3. Let me go, people. Joel, same way with my mom. Same exact. And guess what, bro? Guess what, Sister Hebrews? That brother right now today is emotionless. The brother I just interviewed, he emotionless. He can't hug nobody. He can't tell nobody that he loved them. He can't express no kind of feeling. Why? Because his mom didn't express none with him. His mom didn't express love with him. She probably hugged him sometimes, and you know, when they was going to church or coming home from church. But he is emotionless. I read to you the word destroyed. The word destroyed means ruin someone emotionally or spiritually destroyed. And he been both ways. He destroyed emotionally. When his sister got ran over on the freeway, he didn't shed one tear. And I'm just testifying what the black ghetto, growing up in the black ghetto, the black community can do to you as a people. Make you heartless. That's no emotions. When his mom died, he didn't shed a tear. Emotionless. This means you are a destroyed person. Because that's what the word destroyed means. Emotionally or spiritually. Spiritually, right now, the brother can't even, he say he's not a Christian no more. He say he into the God of Israel. He say he know the God of Israel name, Ahiah, he know that. But right now, today, he haven't been in a Christian church in about 8 years. Years. And right now, today, he say he a Hebrew and he believe in that, and you know, he believe in the God of Israel and all that. But right now, today, he is spiritually destroyed. He can't sing to the God of Israel. He can't clap to the God of Israel on his own. That's what destroyed me emotionally and spiritually. He can't express it on love and gratitude to the God of Israel and the people around him. This is what the black neighborhood do. It destroy your emotions. It destroy your spirit. Joel 1 verse 3, people. And I'm in overtime. Don't get ready to get out of here. I'm going to read to you about the Evergreen, the big ship that's stuck over there on the Susa Canal in Egypt. Joel 1 verse 3, after this scripture here. Joel 1 verse 3. See, I know what the black neighborhood done did to all of the children of Israel. Nothing is ever going to change, people. Nothing ever going to change for you people. Nothing ever going to change for us until we get connected to the same God that made Abraham great, to the same God that made Isaac great, to the same God that made Jacob great, and do what Jacob and Abraham and Isaac did. That's the only way out. There's no other way. Do what Moses told our ancestors to do, so that it'll be well with them, so that they will live long. We have trained our children up to be against the real God. And that's why they died so young. And the jails are running over with them, running over with all kind of little boys and little girls, grown men and grown women. Joy 1:3. Tell ye children of it. Let me go up here. Joel 1 verse 2. Hear this, you old men, and give ear, all the inhabitants of the land. Have this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? This was an invasion of locusts. The God of Israel sent locusts. Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation. See, you haven't told your children about the God of Israel. My mama didn't tell me about the God of the Hebrews. His mama didn't tell him about the God of the Hebrews. Did your mama tell you about the God of the Hebrews, bro? No. His mama only told him about the God of the Christian church. He's the God of the building. And the real God don't dwell in buildings made with hands. So no, he was never learning about the real God. I was never learning about the real God. You was never learning about the real God. The real God dwell in tents, up on mountains and hills. You can't confide him. So no, you have taught your children how to be against the God, and that's why they dying. And you haven't figured that out yet. Your leaders haven't figured that out. They still want to send a church bus at your children and all that stuff, even though the churches are closed for COVID-19. He said, tell to your children and let your children tell it to their children about the God of Israel, how great he is, how he destroyed Egypt. The God of the Hebrews, the God of the 12 tribes, the God of Jacob. Tell them about Jacob. Tell them about Jacob's children. Don't tell them about no Gentiles. That's what you Christians believe. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. That's all you know. That's all you know, man. You don't know nothing about being a Hebrew. And some of y'all do 5%. And you still ain't doing nothing with it. Deuteronomy 15:16. Let me read this. I'm going to read this prophecy now about the big ship. Y'all see what's going on over there? Let me pull it up. Deuteronomy 15:16. I'm going to read these scriptures and then I'm going to give you the prophecy about the big ship in the Bible. And I'm going to be finished, people. Deuteronomy 15:16, people. You have failed your children. You have failed them. You taught them how to be whores. You taught them how to be religious. You taught them how to be homosexual. You taught them how to be lesbians. My grandma sucked my pussy at 4 and 5 years old. She was teaching me how to be a lesbian at 4 and 5 years old, playing inside of my pussy every time. I'm sorry, I got to keep it real, people. I'm not religious. Playing inside of me. My vagina. Every time my mama took me to her house, she raped me. See, this is what's going on in the black hood. Yeah. Yeah, you love that music and you love that food and you love everything that it has to offer you. And it's killing you. And it's killing our kids. I read on the news yesterday, a little 19-year-old girl. Yeah, it's a lot of partying, all about partying and getting drunk and high and looking good and all that. And you Christians, the ones that don't do that, it's all about church and the Hebrew Israelite church and serving Yah and all them gods, Jesus and all that. You religious. And you sinners, and the people that's not in the church, they not religious, and they sinners. So no one is getting anywhere. So look, I read on the news yesterday that this 19-year-old girl living in the black community, the ghetto, left her little 2-year-old baby while she went 500 miles, I'm probably paraphrasing, she went to a whole different city and left her 2-year-old baby at home for 6 days by herself. I can remember doing that. I can remember doing that. Because I wanted to walk up and down the street and parade my ass in front of some man to get some money. I can remember doing that, leaving my child at a young age. Yes, this is a taught behavior, what you in the ghetto. Everybody doing it. You either religious or into Jesus or into God, they call it. Or you either into the world and partying and dressing up and looking good and parading up and down the street smoking. the drugs and dope, there is no way out of the ghetto. You messed up all around the board. This girl left a little 2-year-old baby for 6 days and went to another city. And when she got home, the little baby was dead. How can you leave the same way I did it? How can I judge her when I did the same thing? How can you do that? You know how? Because all you care about is what you want to do. All you care, like that brother I just interviewed, all his mama cared about is having sex with that man, not knowing that she was destroying her kids. Emotionally, he was destroying her children. He never seen his father but one or two times. The mama never even talked about the daddy to him. I know so many black kids, Hebrews, that's been through that. This girl went for 6 days. 18, it was her birthday. She wanted to go party. I don't understand why she just didn't call somebody to come and watch her baby. She didn't give a damn, people. You don't give a damn about your kids. You don't care back then. They didn't care back then with my mom and them, and they don't care today. So stay here. And the little girl died, and right now she in prison, standing trial to go to jail for manslaughter, for killing her own child, because she wanted to go party and put on her black mini dress with her stilettos and walk up and down some bar, some club, and flaunt her booty in front of some black Negro that ain't gonna give her nothing and that don't give a damn about her and her child. Now she in jail. Just to go to a party. Zooming around is 15, 16 people. I'm getting ready to leave. They're going to cut me off in a minute. Zooming around is 15, 16. All of your food, all of your clothes, all of your life, everything that the government have put in the black neighborhoods, the ghetto, the Caribbean, where the 10 tribes are, is to destroy and test us. As it's a testing ground. Like they test animals. We're nothing but animals to them. Oh, we'll just get them our poison food, our cloned up food that we made with all kind of rat poisons and shot all kind of stuff, feces and baby feces and all kind of stuff, aspartame, to kill the brain and destroy the brain. That's why you people can't think, because you drink a lot of aspartame, drinking soda and pop and all. That's aspartame, rat poison. It's in your food, it's in your soda, it's in your water, it's everywhere. Fluoride, all kind of stuff. It is a testing ground, the ghetto hood. You took refuge in it. You took refuge in the ghetto. You comfortable. I love the ghetto, man. I love hood life. Hood life destroyed your mama, my mama, her daddy, your daddy, his daddy, his everybody have been destroyed. And all you can do is call Jesus and Yah. And Buddha now. That's all you can do. And that's all you want to do, Israel. You pathetic people to me. Thus said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, Ahaya is my name. Deuteronomy 15, 16. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loved thee and thy house, because, I don't think this is my scripture here. Hold on, people.
That's not the one I want. Verse 15. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and a higher thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this day to do this thing. I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will, no. That's not the one. We're going to skip that one. Go to the next scripture. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. We got to remember our ancestors. There was bond men and bond women in Egypt. We got to remember that. We got to teach our children that. That we are these people. We are their bloodline. We are the people of the Bible. Original people of the book. The record. The Hebrew record is the Bible. It's not a Bible. It's a record about a people and their God. Deuteronomy 28:13. Thinking about no Gentile, man. You Gentiles, please. This ain't your record. This is the record of the Hebrew nation and about their Savior, Yeshaya. 28:13 of Deuteronomy. Then I'm gonna read the prophecy. I got one more, and then I'm going to read the prophecy about the ship in the Bible. 28:13, Deuteronomy. And the highest shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shall be above only. And thou shall be, and thou shall not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of a higher thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do. And thou shall not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. To the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Who is he talking about here, people? He's talking about you. He's talking to me. He's talking to Israel, the Hebrew nation, the black neighborhoods, the ghetto is the children of Israel. That's where they live at. You ain't dead. He's talking to you right now. You have went aside to serve other gods. He said, if you obey me in Deuteronomy 28:13, you're going to be the head and not the tail. Who is the head today? Esau and his children. The government. That's Esau's children. They are the heads. And we, Jacob's sons and daughters, the Hebrew nation, we are the tail. Why? Why? Because we did not obey. We did not listen. Our ancestors didn't do it, and we're not doing it. It's a taught behavior. They taught us way back in ancient times to go against our God. They taught us way back in ancient times to serve Baal, the sun god. They taught us way back in ancient times to call on Astaroth, Guadalupe, Ceramesis, Mother Mary in the Catholic Church. They taught us that. And teaching us today the same thing that was taught in ancient times. But he said, you're going to be beneath. You're going to be beneath. You're going to be low. Right here in Deuteronomy 28:13. Beneath. Very low, it says. Very, very low. Apprehended. Hebrew number 4295, apprehend, downward, low, beneath, very low, base. They walking all over us. They walking all over our children. And all you people can do is keep writing the president
keep making little shows and stuff and little blog talk radio host shows and stuff on YouTube about Trump and Biden and what they're doing. Please, people, please, please. You think these people care about you? Long as you continue to make them wealthy, long as you continue to buy their products, they don't care nothing about you or your children. That's why you low and you a base and you the tail. And you beneath and they are above us. Because you won't keep the commandments. And you won't observe to do what he told our ancestors to do. Now, next scripture. I'm going to go to the prophecy in the Bible about the Suez Canal, the big ship, they call it Ever Given, the trading ship, the trading route for the wealthy and for the rich. Esau children, that's who they are. Esau children, they wealthy. Jacob, big brother. Esau. Let's go to, I'm going to show you in the Bible why that ship is stuck. And they tried all they can to get it loose. Who stuck it? Who did it? They try to figure out right now. I looked on the news today. They try to figure out why did this ship get stuck like this? What happened? I'm going to show you what happened. In the Bible, in the prophetic, what the God of Israel did to your ship. His name is Ahayah, the God of the Hebrew nation. I am that I am. I am. That's who he is. And can't nobody stop me. And can't no one stop me. And what I want to happen. You can dig all you want. You can send tub boats, low boats, whatever kind of boats y'all want to send. But it will not be released until I release it. Now, let me go to the scripture to prove that he's the one put it in the position that it's in right now. They said, oh, yeah, we made a little bit of progress. We got it out about 100 feet, they say. 100 feet, we got it out a little bit. But it's still going to be a big work, a big job for us to get it out. We still got a lot of work to do. And it's stopping $6 billion every day. Their wealth. That's how they get rich off the Hebrew Israel children, the little poor slaves that work their corporations and their jobs and buy all of their product and all of their goods. That's how they get rich off the children of Israel. We are the consumers. They are the masters. They over us. We the tail and they are the head. They beneath us. Because we wouldn't obey our God and do what he wants. Scripture to prove what happened to the evergreen. Ezekiel 27:25-26. What's saying that now to God? Can Satan get the ship loose? Can Satan, their God, get the ship loose for them? With all of their goods and all of their products that they sell to the little poor, broke, ghetto black folks that ain't got no food on their table, ain't got no shoes on their back, ain't got nothing, nowhere to live. They homeless, homeless, sleeping on the tunnels, sleeping on the woods, sleeping on the trees where they can sleep, homeless. Don't have nothing. But when they get that job from that corporation, they got to buy all the stuff that's on that ship. Because you've been programmed and trained up like that to buy it. The consumers of the rich and the wealthy. Now, Ezekiel 27:25, people. Let's read about the ship. The ships of Tarshish. That's what the Bible calls it. In times, it was the ship of Tarshish. Modern times, they call it Evergreen. The ships of Tarshish, that's what they are. Come on. Come on, people. Come on. Come on. Y'all need some understanding here. Ezekiel 27. Yeah. 25 verse. Yes, Ahiah, God of Israel. God of Israel. God of the Hebrew nation. Ezekiel 25:26-27:25. Oh, let me go up a little bit here. Let's go right here. Ezekiel 27:24. Prophecy about the evergreen. The Suez Canal ship that stuck. The ships are Tarshish. The ships are Tarshish. These were thy merchants. These was Ezekiel 27:24. These were thy merchants in all sorts of things, in blue clothes, in border works, and in chests of rich apparel, bound with cords, and made a cedar among thy merchandise. The ships of Tarshish, the ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thy was replenished and made very glorious. Y'all see, they talk about how high it is. It's so high, it's tall like the Empire State Building, they say. Like the Empire State Building. That's how high it is. I think they said 200 feet high, if I'm not mistaken. It's glorious. They glorified it to carry all their merchandise, all their clothes, all their apparel, all their jewelry, all their everything, all their food, to feed it to you little poor, weak slaves, to get them wealth. But the God of Israel have stopped their ship. He is in control. I told y'all a whole year ago, the COVID-19, the God of Israel have took the keys from the people that rule this earth. They just think they still in charge. But the keys have been taken from them by the angels. I told you that. They can't open nothing till the God of Israel open it. I told y'all that. You notice your economy is still locked down, shut down, back down, and not a big ship that carry all their merchandise and all their goods is stuck on the Mediterranean Sea over there by the Red Sea, where the God of Israel sunk and killed killed the army of Pharaoh. That's where it's stuck at. It's stuck right over there by the Red Sea, where the God of Israel, Ahiah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, drowned the army of Pharaoh. That's where it's at. He stuck the ship himself. I told y'all. Matter of fact, let me go to that. After I finish reading this scripture. Ezekiel 27:24. These were thy merchants of all sorts of things, of blue clothes, broader works, and chests, rich apparel, bound with cords,
made a cedar among the merchandise. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thou was replenished and made very glorious. It's so high, like the Empire State Building. It carries so much merchandise. That's not, it's not a ship like it, they say. Yeah, come on. In the midst of the sea, and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. That's just one route. They got many routes to get stuff to poor Hebrews so you can buy them and make wealthy. Ezekiel 27:26. Thy roars, that's the people who handle the ship and drive the ship. They drive it and run it and work it. Make sure it's running right, on course. Thy roars have brought thee into great waters. The east wind. Let me say it again, people. The east wind have broken thee in the midst of the sea. The east wind. Who's in charge of the wind? The God of Israel. The east wind have broken thee in the midst of the seas. So it was an east wind that turned the ship the way that it's turned. And they can't get out. The east wind did. The God of Israel sent the east wind. Thy riches, Ezekiel 27:27. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, thy truckers and thy occupiers of thy merchandise. Oh God, I need the battery. It's charging. It's going out. I need the charger. Babe, could you help me? Oh. Excuse me, people. I got to charge this up. Could you give me that? Carlos, could you give me the cord? I need to plug this in. It's going to go dead. Oh, God. I'm dropping this thing so much. Hold on, people. Give me a minute. They're going to cut me off in a minute. Oh, no. You can't plug it there. No. It's got to be over there.
Well, I don't really know where
to keep it. You keep unplugging it, it's okay. I should even have it. Yeah.
It's right here.
Thy east wind. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 27:27. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, the truckers, the occupiers, and all the men of war that are in thee, and all thy company, which are in the midst of thee shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. So they better be careful. They better be careful. That all of that stuff that they got on top of that big old ship don't fall in the water. Be careful. Because the God of Israel talking about the ships of Tarshish, the ships of the merchants, the traders, your riches, all your riches, $6 billion every day. Because you got other ships coming through that. And that big ship is blocking everything. And it says here, I got to go back to that. I think I have one more scripture for that. It's going to cut me off in a minute, people. Yeah. Psalms 48:6-7. Psalms 48. So the east wind is what hit the ship, the Evergreen. You want to know If you really want to know what happened, I'm telling you what the God of Israel have revealed to me, the Creator, the one that put you here, me here, and everybody else here. The east wind. Psalms 48, 6 and 7, still about the big ship, another prophetic prophecy in the Bible. Psalms 48. And after this, people, I'm getting ready to go. But I want to say something to you before I go. Psalms 48, 6 and 7 verse. Look what it says. For Psalms 48:4. For lo, the kings was assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them, verse 6 of Psalms 48, as pain as woman in travail. Right now, the kings of the earth, the rich folks that rule this world, they crying, holding their belly like a woman in travail, like a pregnant woman that's in pain. In a lot of pain right now because they can't get that ship to move out the way. They can't get it to move. It's been stuck for 6 days. Prophetic prophecy. Where Satan at? Your God. Where Jesus at? Buddha and all your gods you believe in. Kings of the earth. Psalms 48:7. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Thou breakest. The ships of Tarshish. Tarshish is Hebrew number for Psalms 48:7, 8659, as the region of the stone or the reverse Tarshish, a place on the Mediterranean Sea. Where is the evergreen at? Where is it blocked at? On the Mediterranean Sea, over there in Egypt. The Mediterranean Sea, Red Sea. That's where it's at. Up in there. Tarshish, a place on the Mediterranean. I'm reading Psalms 48:7. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with the east wind. Mediterranean Sea, Hebrew number 8659. As it said, Mediterranean Sea. Merchant vessel. That's what it is. It carry all the goods for the wealthy and the rich. Merchant vessel. It's a ship for trading. And a hire broke it. He stopped it. It's broke right now because it can't move. He broke it. Y'all better be careful messing around with that ship. Now that's just a warning. That's just a word of wisdom for you. Be careful messing with that ship. So Tarshish right here, it's a merchant vessel, it said in the Hebrew. Also, okay. Yes. And then it say, with an east wind he did.
So if you want to know how it turned, the way that it turned, he said the east wind to turn it that way. And he told me to tell you that. East is Hebrew number 6921 for Psalms 48:7, and I'm getting ready to leave. The four or front part. See, that's where it's broke at. The front part of the ship. Hebrew number for east, 6921. The east, it say east, verbally eastward, the east wind. That's what he broke it with, the east wind. And it say that Hebrew number for Psalms 48:7 took me to another Hebrew number, 6923. To project oneself, it say, disappoint, meet, or prevent. He don't want you, kings and rulers of the earth. Right now, he don't want you to get your goods to the poor little Hebrew hungry black folks in Asia and in Europe, because they are the consumers and they the ones that's making you wealthy. The seed of Jacob, your little brother Jacob. Now it say Hebrews 6:9-23, disappoint, prevent. Right now they disappointed. He's prevented it. It's been there 6 days. They don't know what to do. They digging. They sending big boats, other boats, all kind of stuff. All y'all got to do is denounce your gods. Jesus and Satan and all your gods that you got so much faith and confidence and hope in. Buddha and all that. Ra, the sun god, Baal. That's all you got to do. That's all Pharaoh had to do and his army. But he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do that. And that's why his army got sunk in the Red Sea, right where your boat is. Be careful messing with that ship. Now, people, to end the broadcast, it say, thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with the east wind. That say prevent, I just read that, disappoint me, east, in the Hebrew. When, right here's Hebrew number 7307. When by resemblance, breath. The breath of the God of Israel. The breath. It say, that is a sensible or even violent exhalation. Figuratively, life anger. See, the God of Israel is angry. Y'all people study getting wealthy. You study getting rich, but you don't want to give nobody nothing. You don't want to get a poor nothing. You don't want to help the children of Israel. You just want to keep getting wealthy off of them and rich. The God of Israel is tired of that. He's tired of you using his poor little dumb, weak slaves, weak little people. Not his slaves, your slaves. He tired of that. You getting wealthy off of his people and won't give his people a crumb that fall off your table. It said, region, sky, resembling spirit, expression, air, anger, blast, breath, tempest, whirlwind. That's what it was. It turned the ship, the east wind, and made it go catacorner. The east wind, boom, hit it and turned it. And it stuck. Now, just to end the broadcast. Yeah, I can hear y'all something. Wow.
Yeah, wow. This is how the God of Israel deal with me. Now, I told y'all. Hold on. Give me another minute. I'm getting ready to get out of here. I told y'all I made a radio broadcast February the 28th, 2021, almost a month ago. And I told you, I prophesied to you, Hebrews, and I told you, Gentiles, on Blog Talk Radio. The name of that one, I'm not going to give you the name. I'm just going to tell you what I said on that day when I was on the radio on February the 28th. I told you in 90 days, prophetically speaking, biblical and prophetic events is going to happen in the next 90 days. I told you that. Things that's going to go on in the earth in these 90 days will be prophecy, and they will be prophetic. Now, that was a whole month ago I told you that. Am I a lying prophet, people? I told you things that have never happened before was going to happen. Go back to the broadcast and listen to the tape that I made 2/28/2021. I don't remember the name right now. But if anybody wants the name, just I have my email, or, you know, next time I'm on the radio, you can call in or whatever if you want to get the name of that broadcast where I prophesied that in the next 90 days, a lot of biblical and prophetic events was going to happen that just never happened. Now, 90 days will be May the 28th, 2021. But just in March alone, in 1 month, look how many things have happened prophetic that have never happened before. I'ma just count them. Probably in another week or so, next week, I'll do a show. I'll come on and do a broadcast about all the prophetic events that happened in March that I prophesied about to you that was going to happen that never happened before. Okay? I'll make a broadcast for that. Only for that. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 things have happened in the month of March. I prophesied and told you February the 28th. Almost a month ago, that you was going to get a lot of prophetic events to happen in this earth that never happened before. You got 7 things just for the month of March, and we still got 2, 3, 4 more days before March is over with. So, yeah, people, probably Tuesday or Wednesday, the last day of March, I'm going to come on and do a radio broadcast about all the prophetic events that happened in the month of March. And I'm going to do it for 90 days just to prove to you that the God of Israel is talking to people through me, his prophet. Just to prove to you that I'm not a lying prophet. Not to make myself look good or feel good, because I already know who I am. I know who the God of Israel made me. I have many confirmations to prove who I am. So no, it's not to make me feel good or look good, but it's to make the God of Israel. Not make the God of Israel, I'm sorry. To show the world that the God of Israel is real and that he will get his glory in this earth in these last and final day. And to show you, don't hurt her. She's beautiful. On the back door, she'll go out. To show you that he is real. That he is real. And with that, people, I'll talk to y'all next week. I got to rest now, get some water, and chill out. Sister, Sister Radio Talk Show. I am your host, Alicia. Community of a broken, lost, and destroyed people. Ghetto Life Refuge. Let me look up the word ghetto and refuge in my closing. They still haven't cut me off yet. Ghetto Life. Ghetto Life. Look up ghetto. Ghetto. Border of a city in which Jews, a quarter of a city, and with Jews, just an area where they got all poor, black, pitiful people living. A quarter of a city in which Jews now, I told y'all was Hebrews. I told y'all that y'all are Jews. I told y'all the people in the Caribbean, Guatemala, Honduras, Panama, all over in there, are Jews. That's what ghetto means. That's where the ghettos, that's where the Jews live. They live in the ghetto. They poor folks. A quarter of a city in which Jews was formerly required to live. So that proves to you that you are a Hebrew and that you are a Jew. Because the word ghetto means Jew, a city in which Jews live. The Son of God was a Jew. Peter and them lived in the ghetto. James lived in the ghetto. Mary lived in the ghetto. Joseph lived in the ghetto. Why? Because the Romans was in charge of Jerusalem when the Son of God was born. And they stuck everybody in the ghetto just like they sticking everybody, all the Jews, in the ghetto today. We are their children. So, yeah, the Romans, Esau, children, is the ones that killed the Son of God. Now, listen, a city in which Jews were required to live, the word ghetto. A quarter of a city which members, listen people, y'all still think about my problem, right? Listen, a quarter of a city in which members of a minority group, that's black folks, poor folks, hungry folks, poverty folks, homeless folks. A quarter of a city in which members of a minority group live, especially because of social, legal, and economic pressure. What do we get when we live in the ghetto? Social, legal. What is social? You're not allowed to eat in no white folks' restaurants. Go in the suburbs and
and go up in there and try to eat. See how them white folks look at you. They want to kill you. You not allowed to eat where they eat, drink where they drink, go where they go. Yeah, I know Martin Luther King changed that. Now you can go drink out of white water fountain, and you can go to a white schools and a white this and a white that. But guess what, people? They were all done. They have the hidden hand of your oppressors. So, get on reading now. Especially because of social, see. You're not allowed to get the good jobs like the white folks got. You can't socialize with the rich and with the wealthy. You got to stay on your level ground. Legally. Legally. They make all kind of laws to hurt the Hebrew people, the black people, the brown people. They made all kind of laws. Every law that was made in this earth by all your rulers is to oppress and destroy Jacob's seed and the God of Israel and heavens in the earth. And that's why the ship stuck on the Suez Canal. And they don't know how to get it out. They better be careful messing around with the east wind over there. The God is a synth over there. So, a quarter of a city in which members of a minority group live is because of social, legal, and economic pressure. It's all about keeping you broke, keeping you hungry, keeping you miserable, keeping you sick, keeping you sad, keeping you defeated, keeping you angry, you will kill your whole body, keeping you mentally ill, where you jump off bridges and kill yourself, kill your mama, kill your little baby sister, kill your brother. I read on the news the other day, the woman, she's a very high profile woman, black woman in her 60s. I think they said she was 66 years old. A doctor, a teacher. Very high educated, high ranked woman in the neighborhood. She had a shelter or something for homeless women or home. She was a Christian. Nothing but a Christian. A Jesus lover, or Allah lover, or a Muslim lover. God she loved, I know it was a God. Some form of a God. Anyway, not to put lady down. But I am saying, she was on Zoom. She was on Zoom talking to one of her colleagues. And her brother was there with her. And her 21, 23-year-old son, young man came up behind his mama, grabbed his mama and drug her off the Zoom internet when she was talking to her friend, and her friend thought somebody had broken the house and was kidnapping her. Her own son grabbed her off of the Zoom platform and stabbed her so many times to death. And then he took the knife, went out in the driveway, and stabbed the woman's head. Something is changing, and something is getting better, and Jesus is helping you, and Jesus is loving you, and Jesus is going to make everything all right. And Allah and Buddha and all these people. People stop it. So this is the definition for ghetto, economic pressure. We've been put under pressure all ways, social, legal, all kind of ways. An isolated group, definition number three for ghetto, an isolated group of people.
Now I'm going to look refuge. Refuge. It says definition, another definition for that is a ghetto. A situation resembles a ghetto, especially in confirming, interfering, or limiting opportunity. See, you're a Jew. You live in the ghetto. That's where Jews live, in the ghetto. That proves you're a Jew. So you can get off of that Gentile stuff. No, you're not a Gentile because you're not no African. You was bought from Africa. You ran into Africa in 70 AD, running from the Roman persecution of Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD after they killed the Son of God and the disciples. 70 years later, they burnt Jerusalem down. And the Jews ran into Africa. Who was in Jerusalem at that time when the Son of God walked the earth, the disciples? It was Judah, anybody. That's who was in Jerusalem when the Son of God was born. The 10 times, they was already in the new world. Already in the new world. Jerusalem and destroy the temple and take all our wealth and gold and what it was. Our ancestors ran into Africa, West Africa, Ghana, Ivory Coast, Hebrews, ran into Africa, running from the Romans, persecuting us. And that's why the Son of God, a Hebrew, a Jew, told Peter, now, you see Jerusalem pass with army into the wilderness. And that wilderness that they went into was the Morocco Atlas Mountain over there by Morocco. And then they went farther in to Ghana. Ghana is over there by Morocco, not far. Ghana, the Ivory Coast. Hebrews living there among Hamites, Gentiles, Africans. So no, we're not Africans. We're Hebrews. They ran to Africa to get away from the Romans. And we stayed over for many, many years. Maybe 200 years, 300 years, maybe two, three generations. And we went off by just calling on their gods, Baal, and worshiping all kind of deities and doing all kind of abominations in Africa, living on Gentiles and deafening the God of Israel. And Esau, the white man, the Europeans over there, just to bring us to America. And our brothers and sisters was already here in the Koreans, the 10 tribes. So it was Judah, Benjamin, and Levi that ran into Africa. It was Judah, Benjamin, and Levi that was on the slave ships. Benjamin, Jamaican. Levi, Haitian. Judah, Negroes across the world.